Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Every week we chat with an influencer or two to see what makes them tick. And this week I'm delighted to welcome Chris Heuer and Christy Wells, the founders of Social Media Club. Hi, folks. Are you with us?
We are. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi. I'm doing great. I'm so glad I got both of you. It's a rare, wonderful thing. I should tell everyone that the idea for this program came from, if you go to socialmediaclub.org and go to the clubhouse section, Chris and Christy spoke at Webcom Montreal, and they talked about the story and founding of Social Media Club. So I think that's probably a good place to start. So if people don't know what Social Media Club is, they've been hiding under a rock or they're not that into social media, let's start out with telling them, and one of you can take it or tag team it, and let everybody know what it is.
Well, you know, it started out really in response to my experience at the first bar camp. Went back to actually, you know, seeing this openness that I felt was new and refreshing, that people were sharing their ideas and sharing what in many years past might have been considered even competitive secrets, and seeing this openness and this willingness to share. And, of course, social media was a big part of it, but we actually started out going after our mission as an organization called Brain Jams. And my idea was that all this peer-to-peer learning and everything that was happening was great, but the bar camp concept in itself was so unstructured and so kind of ad hoc and emergent that there needed to be a way to kind of bridge the gap between the formal and the informal, and to bring more people into the fold, to sort of, you know, bring the suits out with the geeks. And we did that for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And we held events down in New Orleans after Katrina. We went out to D.C. and
we did Berkeley and Stanford.
Well, SRI.
SRI. So.
Yeah, yeah. And but the whole idea was to get, you know, the artist learning from the engineer, to get the marketing person learning from, you know, the janitor, whatever it might be. But what we found was that the interdisciplinary learning angle that we were really going for just wasn't that exciting for people. It needed a richer context. And, of course, I started my first interactive agency back in 94 down in Miami, so I've been in the web business, I guess, for a long time now, and watched what happened back then. What happened back then was there's a huge gap in the market knowledge between the people building websites and those people needing them. And, in fact, sometimes I saw even, you know, companies paying $250,000 for a 10-page website. And I was just, wait, that, you know, we can build that in 3 days. How are they getting $250,000? And, you know, they're really exploiting the market.
And I remember you were one of the first people to really take on the educational side of the digital, what we used to call, or some people still call, the digital divide, which is that, you know, the knowledge set of those that need versus those that actually build.
Yeah, and it's so important. And, of course, back in the early days as well, there weren't even that many web pages. I mean, there's probably, you know, under 10 million web pages back when we started. So there definitely wasn't a lot of educational material online in those early days to learn how to do it. And, in fact, we turned to the WAC list, which was the World Wide Web Artist Consortium list out of New York, where a bunch of great people got together, including Howard Greenstein, who's on our board right now, Media Club, and we're doing it all through a mailing list. But what we wanted to do was to, you know, bring all these concepts together and help to support social media as an industry to make sure that people couldn't be taken advantage of like happened before. But there was also another thing here, which was clearly that, you know, our original goal of cross-pollinating and getting people to learn from each other and breaking down stereotypes and all those things were being accomplished in social media. And with the rise of social media and connecting people and all the powerful things that we know it can do today, we wanted to create an organization that would support that overall and help people learn. But the personal story that went into it and really where we get our tagline, if you get it, share it, comes back from my early arrogance and my tech. You know, you ask a tech person for an answer and sometimes you get a rude response. And, you know, I've admittedly done that and I've admittedly done that as recently as 2 days ago with Christy when she asked me to do something.
Yeah, we need to talk about that.
Well, we talk about it enough publicly, so let's not talk about it privately. But you know, I'm aware of it. I try my best not to, and I'm just sometimes, you know, in my own headspace or zone, and I do that. But anyways, the point being is that I used to roll around, and, man, when we were working with ad agencies back in the early web days, you know, there were times where a creative director would give me a print ad and say, here's your website. And I'd be like, no. But I used to go around telling people, like, you don't get it, man. You just don't get it. And what I learned, you know, growing up now 15, 16 years later, was that you don't get far by telling people they're stupid and that they don't understand what you're talking about. That you have to find ways to build bridges, and therefore really hit upon this idea very early that I think was very instrumental to our growth.
Absolutely.
Of this idea of if you get it, share it.
Yeah, I love the tagline, and I start the introduction to the show out about that. Christy, I just wanted to get your perspective because I feel like one of the interesting sort of what would be a complexity for a lot of people that is very relatable is that you are a married couple and, you know, of course, starting an organization with someone that you're married to or going to be married to, you know, presents its, you know, another, you know, dimension to things. And I noticed that, you know, pardon?
That's such a polite word, Jennifer.
Yeah. Well, the thing, I work with my husband too on different projects, so I understand the complexities, and I'm sure other people can relate to it too. But how do you, you know, it's sort of this huge mission and all the power that's gone into it. And Christy, you have a fantastic background as well that's extremely complementary to Chris's. I kind of wanted to start from that place with sort of your background and kind of where you're coming from in terms of how you saw the genesis of Social Media Club and the views you personally have going into it. And then, you know, maybe share with us what you can or what you feel comfortable with in terms of working together as a couple, how you parse out who does what.
Oh, I have so many things to say on the latter. No, it's great. You know, and honestly, it's, you know, I'll say right here, you know, the idea of Social Media Club generated from Chris, and but it resonated so immediately with me because, you know, I grew up in a very social household where my friends had a diverse group my parents had a very diverse group of friends, and, you know, my dad was a mechanic, but we had attorneys, there were bankers, there were other mechanics, you know, there was race car drivers. So it was always kind of a neat mix. And I always loved the, you know, conversations that happened inside the house because everybody walked away learning something kind of new at the end of every dinner. And mm-hmm. Chris was talking about this and really focusing on the cross-pollination of, you know, the different industries, different people, different experience levels. We started talking about how we could extend that, and it all just kind of came together. And so, you know, it's been an amazing ride over the last 4 years. We bought the domain back in March of 2006. We officially launched in August of 2006 here in San Francisco with that hardcore focus of, you know, let's bring people together around social media. Let's try to focus on bringing people from different backgrounds and, you know, and made that happen. And I think you're telling me to talk about events. He does this all the time. It's like, I'm in the middle of a sentence, he whispers something to me.
Too.
And I'm like, what are you saying?
No. Well, go ahead. You keep.
So, I'm just going to say. here's the latter part of working together.
Yeah, the occasional laughter. And you try to find as much occasion as possible.
Absolutely. But, no, so for me, the genesis of, like, how I got involved and pulled into this, too, is just, you know, when Chris was talking about wanting to do something on a larger level, and, you know, taking us to the global community, that I just immediately resonated because it felt so normal to me. And I have a very hardcore background in community development. I've always been in sales and marketing, but everything, no matter what my title was always trying to connect people together and, you know, extend resources as we could. So it just kind of was a natural place for me to fall into.
Yeah, and what I was going to ask you to say, honey, is talk to her about the events in particular and about organizing events because you also had a knack for that immediately. And
yeah, you are the most amazing event organizer, Christy, I tell you.
Well,
so I'll let you take
the title.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we've done some work together, but I have to say, you know, really seriously, you guys have a conference coming up, and, you know, thinking about, you know, organizing a conference from my perspective would drive me nuts. I would just be so afraid, really, actually, of doing it. So, I mean, you know, in the early days, with the ability to create these events, and especially, as Chris alluded to, sort of the competitive nature as well, and it still exists today to some extent with, you know, whose event, you know, kind of jockeying for position, especially in the Bay Area with so many great minds. You know, how do we make sure the marketing gets out quickly enough? How do we make sure people know about the event? Who are, you know, what level do we have people speak to, et cetera? How did you go about the event organizing piece of it? Because you definitely have a talent for that.
Well, thank you very much. That's very sweet of you to say. And, you know, I think, again, it comes to being brought up in an environment where bringing people together was just kind of the norm. And some in a more loose manner, some in a more structured manner. And, you know, there's, I think you just have to kind of go for it. I think in this day and age, you know, your fear will get the better of you. And, you know, you just have to kind of believe that everything will work itself out. And honestly, this kind of goes tied to Chris and I working together and being married together, where, you know, a lot of our finances are tied into Social Media Club, which is a community project, where, you know, he's got amazing ideas and wants to pursue things, and I'm still a little quasi-conservative of, you know, there's that fear factor of will it succeed, will it do it, but it always works out, and it ties it all the way back to, like, almost the very first event we did, which was Web 2.1, where, you know, we were talking about wanting to go to Web 2.0 back in, I think, 2006, I think it was, and, you know, it was interesting because we're talking about it, and it's an O'Reilly's event. We're like, wow, I can't spend $2,800 to go to this tech event, but it sounds amazing. How do I participate in it? And there really wasn't any other outlet for me, some of my friends, for Chris. And so we just said, you know what, why don't we just get other people together in another room, and we'll host our own little event. And we said that was kind of genius, right? We're like, oh, let's just do this. This is great. It's kind of bar campy. Let's just see what happens. And Chris,
it was unconference.
It was unconference, and you know, because O'Reilly
Web 2.1.
Web 2.1 was the name of the conference, and we were lucky enough to have Brian Shields over at Cron TV. I don't even know.
Oh,
how,
love him.
I do love Brian too. And I honestly don't remember if we put a request out to people we knew.
It was a blog post. He commented on the blog post.
That's what it was. So Chris put a blog post out and said, we want to do this event. We need a venue. So Brian immediately jumped on it, offered up the Cron Studios here in San Francisco. We had less than a week to put it all together. And as a little, you know, funny bit to it too, because O'Reilly was charging $2,800, we decided to charge $2.80. And... you know, to kind of cover costs and things going on. And honestly, with a little bit of promotion and some friends' help, we got 75 people in a room in this amazing studio in less than a week.
Well, and including Jeff Jarvis and Tara Hunt and so many other people, you know, back in those early days.
Yeah, and so again, you know, we had less than a week, but we believed it could happen, and it's just kind of been that way ever since.
Well, and more, I want to come back to one other really transformative moment as well, because I had kind of hit this idea, and, of course, this is now less than 2 months after the first bar camp. And I said, well, you know, if they could do it, we could do it. And I kind of tossed the idea around with some friends. And, you know, a good friend, Todd Parsons, who was the co-founder of BuzzLogic, said to me, Chris, just go for it, man, whatever. And I don't know, I was really, you know, feeling a lot of fear, actually, as to, you know, that sort of birthday party thing of what if nobody shows up. And, you know, who are we to be doing this sort of thing? And you know, Christy and I sat down that evening on the couch before we put that blog post out for that first event. And I said, you know, what if nobody shows up? And she just turned to me and said, well, look, if it's five people and we're sitting on the couch, then that's where it starts. And, you know, and from that moment forward, what we've been trying to teach Social Media Club chapter leaders around the world, and what we tell them, you know, when we're talking to them about setting
quality
up a chapter,
yeah,
is to focus on quality over quantity. And that if you can get five smart people together in a coffee shop, that's a hell of a great beginning, because five will get you 10 and 10 will get you 20.
And even though, but even if you don't get that 20, the fact that you have five people getting together on a regular basis, trying to help one another and support one another, that's a win. I mean, that's amazing. And I think that's what just triggers this whole thing for me and why we continue to do this. because we hear of these types of stories, and that's exciting.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, one of the things, you know, you talk about all the events around the Bay Area that we, you know, compete with, so to speak, is that we do our best not to think about that. I mean, I have lots of friends, you know, good friends who have their own communities here locally who will accidentally mm-hmm. on the same night as one of ours, and, you know, feel all bad and everything. And, yeah, we'd rather not do that, of course. But the reality is that, you know, as long as it's not on the same topic, trying to get the same speakers, there's no direct competition. We're all serving our own communities. And that mm-hmm. there's going to be the 30 right people who show up, you know, for our event and the 80 for the other or 500 for some big party. And, you know, those people who only go out to the parties, those aren't the sort of people we're trying to bring together necessarily. You know, I mean, it helps business networking, but it certainly doesn't help me expand my thinking or connect with new ideas or feel like my family is growing.
Makes me feel hungover the next day.
Yeah, there is alcohol at least the Bay Area events. So this is a great segue into talking about the growth of the organization. So you start out in the San Francisco Bay Area doing as best as possible for those that live in the area, knowing it's a little bit difficult from an events organization point of view to service both San Francisco and the Silicon Valley really well. But that's the start. And then how does it grow? Tell me about the transformative moment there.
Well, it actually started with Chris's road trip from, I'm not going to say from hell, but it was pretty crazy.
No, it was great, actually. It worked out. I'll tell you where it started out. I was very lucky to see something. You know, we were working very early on in promoting and forwarding the concept behind the social media release. And, in fact, the birth of the effort to actually make that happen was on our back deck when I was interviewing Tom Faremski for a podcast in 05, in the middle of 05, and we started talking about it.
And people who don't know, let me just interject, Tom Faremski is great, used to be a reporter for the Financial Times, but has long been the head of his own site, Silicon Valley Watcher, and he's been on the show before, so if people don't know who that is, they can find him. But go ahead, on the back deck with Tom, having a conversation about the social media press release.
Yeah, and in fact, he wrote this post, Die Press Release, Die, Die, which as I understand it is being taught in public relations classes around the world right now as an instrumental moment in public relations. But so we were talking about that piece, and so we brought Todd Defrin in and Shel Holtz, and then down the line, Brian Solis got involved. And so we were working on that social media release, and I'm forgetting the original story that I was supposed to answer.
You were doing a world trip.
Oh, yeah. So what happened was is that as part of our work around that, we ran across this thing called XPRL, and they were having a board meeting in London, and I just said, well, what if I just, you know, went over to London and then went to the meeting and then, you know, hosted a little social media club thing and then maybe went to a couple of other cities, and I looked online to see what the ticket would cost, expecting it to be like $5,000 and undoable, and I found out this little thing about international travel, which is you can go as far east as you want to Europe, and you can stop at as many cities on the way back, and it doesn't exponentially increase the ticket price. And I think that first ticket where we went London, New York, Miami, Orlando,
LA,
San Francisco was only like $1,200. And so
pretty
I said,
good.
All right, we're doing it. And so what I did was I contacted my friends in all these different cities, and, you know, we got boardroom space in different people's offices at Fleischmann Hillard over in London. I think it was PR Newswire in New York. For the first one, I may be wrong there. My memory's a little sketchy. It's been a little while. But and we brought together at the time, only through the use of blogs and comments, because we didn't have Twitter yet, or at least it wasn't available to us, the ability to bring in 30 people into these meetings to say, here's what we're trying to do. What is social media? Where is it going? And what do we need to be concerned with? And, you know, that kind of started it. Then we ended up going to Portland, Seattle, and Vancouver, and it was about bringing people together face-to-face to talk to one another.
And just I want to add to that is once Chris started kicking things off, I mean, as you know, we weren't really expecting it to grow fast. I mean, we've kind of prided ourselves on this as being a really grassroots organization. And, you know, it really just grew by word of mouth in a handful of cities. I think we were in 40 cities within a year, and that was just – I don't even know how that happened. But, you know, it's – it's been loosely joined, and it's different in every single city. But I think the overarching thing is that people felt, you know, so a connection to the overall mission, and then it helped with that social media has really been coming of age, and so there was that automatic connection to the chapters as well.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, I mean, even when we were looking at this and when we were making our decision to, you know, invest the money out of our pocket to seed this organization, which we didn't have, I mean, you know, we're still people in debt, you know. We're not like some famous Silicon Valley execs who exited with $400 million and are just doing this as part of our foundation. We're still scrapping it out each and every day just to get by. But we're doing well, thankfully, because we've got a great community around us. But when we were making that decision to invest, you know, we knew that we were riding a wave, obviously. And despite in those early days people not even wanting to call it social media and all the arguments we had over what to call it, you know, I just knew in my gut that, you know, this was social media, and that the differentiator between new media and all these other variants was the fact that it was social and that it was shareable in these things. And what we really did was, you know, kind of manifest an organization that represented our own internal values of openness, of sharing, of helping others, and of educating and having fun at the same time. And, you know, that really kind of got embedded in our mission and, you know, in our tagline, if you get it, share it. And really, I think that, you know, with all the shortcomings we've had over the years and occasional failings and everything in trying to do the right thing, but having good intentions, that, you know, the reason why it's still here is because those values are what resonates.
Absolutely.
And it says values that have drawn people together. And, in fact, you know, there is a unique personality type that I see in every social media club member that I meet around the world.
Chattiness.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. So it seems like this is a good segue. Again, Chris, you're providing lovely segues for me. Thank you. To how the organization is evolving right now. So there's you've done some announcements on your website about just, you know, how exactly you can become involved or create a chapter. I don't know which of you want to take it first and then add on, but can you speak to that?
Absolutely. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, we have been a wholly run grassroots organization over the last 4 years, you know, kind of just letting chapters grow organically as they need to. And we realized, you know, as time goes on, you know, we really need to put some structure in place to ensure that the goals and the missions of Social Media Club, you know, come to life. And so we just, within the last 2 weeks, announced what we call the official chapter program.
Well, it's been longer than that already.
Is it? Really?
Yeah, it's almost a month.
Wow. Time flies, baby. Time flies. But, you know, I mean, for us, there's still the spirit of we want to make sure that, you know, chapters can still run and grow on their own and have that local spirit. At the same time, there needs to be that infrastructure in place to ensure that we as the parent org, as well as the local chapter, has the resources needed to sustain themselves. So that if a local chapter leader, you know, gets busy or has a baby or gets a good job that takes them, you know, away, that that chapter can continue to exist even if they're not involved in it. And the same thing with us on the parent level. So what we did is we launched the official chapter program, you know, that the goal is, I'll kind of let you roll into it, Chris. That wasn't a good segue for me either, but I'll just
yeah, so all the high points except the one that I thought she was going to hit, which is the one that she talked about all the time as we've been thinking about it, which is the fact that there's so many great pieces of wisdom shared in these local chapters around the world that aren't surfaced and made available easily to other chapters and to other members around the world. So in essence, you know, while we've got this big global network, all the insights and knowledge and learnings and meetings and everything they're doing are in their own silos. And they're just not getting the value that they could have if they were better connected. So that's, and I won't get into the site too much now, but, you know, that's where we built this new site so that it has an underlying taxonomy, a system for tagging items that will make it easier to find out, hey, guess what? 10 other people this year had events on who owns social media. Maybe before we go and do our event, we should look at the material that already exists and actually build on it instead of repeating the same stuff. Or maybe we can find out that our concern isn't an isolated concern, but it's actually shared by others around the world. So that was a really important part of it as well. The other bit that we found is actually, you know, we went through a process in order to get to that post on our census. You know, we brought in Jessica Murray and Yong Lee, and we hired them to do some research for us to make sure that we had information on where are all the chapters, where is their Facebook, where is their Twitter, where is their other stuff, and build that all together into a database for us. And, you know, in that process, we found 15 chapters that we didn't even know existed.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
wow.
we put all the material online, not that there was a lot, but like a getting started chapter guide existed on our wiki. And so people took it, and they used it, and they ran and went with it. And, you know, we never even heard from them or talked to them or met them. So the other bit in this is that we really want to ensure some quality. We've been really fortunate that, you know, no one's done anything untoward or unseemly with the logo or with the organization or in our name. So we've been very blessed by that. But as it grows to represent this industry, instead of just being a sort of grassroots community, and as social media is rising to become a real profession, you know, it's time for us to make that transition to do more to look after the industry and to stand for real professionalism. Now, one other point before I shut up on this, which is actually forgotten. I forgot.
I know, but thank you for picking up, because you picked up the big meaty part that I'm so concerned with, the education and the topics. And
well,
so.
Actually, I remember the other point, so thank you. The other point is, as you know, Jennifer, the work required in running a local chapter, there's a lot of stuff in getting venues and logistics and speakers lined up and content, bringing people together, promoting the events each month. And, you know, as a grassroots organization, we didn't worry much about getting sued because there was nothing anyone could take from us.
Right.
You know, but as it grows global and as that risk increases, that also increases. But in many cases, the cities out there, when they started their chapters, they found that they couldn't get an event venue that they had all set, was even ready to be donated to them, yeah. that they didn't even have to pay for, because they didn't have a certificate of insurance, because there was no legal entity to take responsibility for what would happen if somebody tripped and fell at an event venue. What we also saw was a lot of other needs for services that could be handled out of a central administration, like accounting, like the legal filings and staying in good graces. And we've gotten to a point where, you know, having ignored those sorts of things for a while and just doing it because we could, because people can do anything. They don't need permission to, like, form a community. You don't need to go and ask the government, can I bring 20 people together in this coffee shop to learn from each other? You don't have to. Just go do it. And that was kind of the birth, and we still want to encourage that to a degree. But what we figured was that we could become a sort of clearinghouse to provide services from a central hub that would ultimately be more cost-effective and more viable to help people focus on what they're good at in bringing together their local communities, instead of dealing with legalities, finances, insurance, and some of those other things, as well as benefiting from the platform that we've built now with socialmediaclub.org and some of the other things that we're doing to cross-promote all the different great work that our members are doing.
Well said, my dear.
Yeah, it's a lot to explain, and I think basically what it means is it's going to be easier and more straightforward for everybody to be on the same page, which is great for all of us. So, you know, as listeners of this show know, I work on the board of the, you know, the local chapter in San Francisco. And so, you know, when I'm trying to get a particular speaker, and I'm going to promo that we've got Steve Urbell coming September 15th, and, you know, hopefully we'll have an event description and be promoting that online soon. But, you know, it's as you're, you know, as everybody's putting all this effort into it, it also helps to have your oversight to make sure that we're matching goals that you've found over time are really what we should be hitting. So, you know, one of the things we've done at our chapter for people to know about, so they can, when they look at our specific Twitter handle, and we have our own Twitter handle, so that's one of the ways that we're sort of different than the parent organization. So you guys are Social Media Club on Twitter, and then there's the SMCSFSV.
Right,
but,
and I actually kind of want to talk about that, too, just quickly, in that, you know, right now, because we've been, you know, we encouraged everybody to use whatever tools they felt most comfortable with. So some chapters, like San Francisco, New York, signed up for a Twitter account. other chapters like Paris were using the wiki Holi. There's other cities that launched websites. And so Chris kind of touched on it with the birth of the new website. You know, ultimately the goal and the route we're taking right now is that we're trying to bring the global community back into a hub so that
mm-hmm.
there is this resource of information available to them, at least as a starting point. So, you know, even though San Francisco may still use Twitter to promote all their information, if I don't know that they have a Twitter account, I could still go to, say, socialmediaclub.org, find the San Francisco chapter listed, and on that, their local portal page, find all these various ways to connect with that local community. So for me, that's kind of the next big step for us, is really bringing that global community together. And or it'll be around sharing information, but also making it easier for other people to find what's going on in their local neighborhood.
Yeah, that's kind of the goal, but, you know, not everyone's going to want to do this. And we have heard from some chapters who are like, we're just fine. And in fact, you know what? Our local members don't even know you exist. And it's like, oh, gee, thanks. But you know, that's okay, because that's how we kind of set it up.
Right.
And
it was,
you know,
very self-serve.
We knew that, and we wanted that because we wanted to inspire and empower. And now we're moving forward in a new chapter, in a new era, where we identified new needs. And, you know, the big need, you know, as I talk about a lot, Jennifer, is the need to get rid of all these social media douchebags and to bring some insight to the profession. And, you know, that's one of the key things that we're hoping to do by moving Social Media Club from this grassroots organization into a real professional
trade association.
And, in fact, what we've done is we're basically giving away the domains. And we're giving away all the work there. I mean, we're owed a little bit of money back, but not a lot. And we're giving it all away to the community. And, in fact, the people who join Social Media Club as a professional member for the $100 a year, they actually have voting rights. And, you know, when we get together at Social Media University in the fall, we're going to have our first ever membership meeting to discuss issues like the code of conduct, like our bylaws, like our missions, the programs we're going to fund and support next year, and, in fact, nominate a new board of directors to take the organization forward. So it's no longer, you know, me and Christy here doing this, but, in fact, it is owned and run by the community.
And I think that's so exciting. I cannot wait for the event, Social Media University event. I think it's going to be fantastic. It's in Miami, am I right?
Actually, it's Orlando. It's November 10th.
Orlando.
10th through 12th, and we're going to have an activity on the 13th, but it will be in Orlando, Florida. And, you know, it was funny when we're talking about locations of the events and all these things, too, is, you know, and that kind of ties back into Chris and I being a couple as well as business partners, is each one of us has pretty extensive opinions.
Yeah.
Most of the time they match, sometimes they don't. But no, it's great. I think, you know, the conference itself is going to be really amazing. I mean, and especially at this transition with Social Media Club, we've been looking to do an annual conference for the last 2 years. And I just think with the company and the organization, you know, at that turning point right now, it just feels so right. And I like it being in Orlando for the mere fact that it's a little more family friendly environment. Most of our members, you know, are professionals, some have families. So we're going to encourage that thing, too. And it's also on the East Coast, which is important for us so that the folks in the international chapters had an easy route to get to us and share
European,
as well. Probably. European.
Yeah, and that Orlando happens to be one of those cities like Vegas where it's relatively inexpensive compared to some other cities to get to.
But it's not Vegas.
But it's not
awesome.
Vegas, so, you know. And, yeah, we're really excited down there. And, you know, I'm doing something different with this as I tend to do. And, in fact, it ends up making it a lot harder on us, but – you know, we really are focused on the quality thing. So our first day of the conference is really focused on local leaders and helping them learn how to run better events, how to run the better chapters, for us to learn from each other. So it'll be very participatory sessions. We're bringing in our sort of acting CTO, Boris Mann, to talk about the website and some things that we're going to be announcing there that hopefully will be finished just beforehand. And then that night we're going to have our membership voting meeting. And then the main day of the conference, you know, we got John Hagel keynoting, who I think is one of the most brilliant minds in this space.
I put some links to his books in the space next to this on Blog Talk Radio. So if anybody's listening from Blog Talk Radio and not iTunes, unfortunately can't do it on iTunes, but Net Worth, Net Gain, which are some of the books that we've talked about at one of our local events, I have listed, so people can find out more about who John Hagel is if they don't already know on the Blog Talk Radio page. Just wanted to interject that.
Thank you. And in fact, those two books is really, you know, instrumental in my entire thinking, and they're elements that, you know, they talked about the importance of relationships and instead of transactions in the web and the internet is one of the key messages inside there, and the rise of the infomediary, which is really something you would look at today as a curator. But anyways, so John's kicking it off, and he's talking about his new book, The Power of Pull, which is actually somewhat the structural basis for the day, because the morning is going to be more corporate organization, structured, formal stuff, and the afternoon is more about community, unstructured, informal stuff. But then we got David Meerman Scott doing an afternoon keynote, Tara Hunt closing, and you know, we just have basically a single track of real, who I believe are real experts and are really some of the top thinkers in social media. And the next day after that is going to be more of an unconference sort of thing where most of those folks, a couple people have to fly out to another event, but most of those folks will be staying around and leading discussion groups. And also we'll be having open space for like a bar camp sort of session where members and participants can offer up their stuff. But most importantly, on that morning, on that Friday morning, we're going to do a group conversation in a World Cafe format where we're going to have all the members talking about, you know, what is the future of the social media industry and what do we want to see visualized in 2011. So basically, we're going to come together, social media professionals as an industry, and chart the course of our industry and what we want to see happen over the year ahead.
Fantastic. So
we're going to go hang out in the parks and have a lot of fun in Disney and Orlando and wherever else.
Have food and wine at the Epcot, too, because they have that big festival. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah, and they have the non-California version of Soaring Over California there, too, I think. So
yes.
We'll be there. That's where my husband will be. I will be at the conference, but he'll be in Epcot enjoying that experience. But I think that's really fantastic. So the key, I think, to take away from my perspective that I'll just add my two cents is become a member. It's so cheap and it's really, really worth it. It's the best $100 you'll ever spend because it really does, you know, what I've seen and what I can vouch for in the last couple of years is that the money doesn't go in people's pockets. It really does go to the beer out on the bar at whatever free venue we can get to, you know, and we don't splash out for venues, at least at our chapter. It goes, every chapter, I'm sure, does its own thing, but the whole purpose, you know, some of the way you're structuring things is to have more of a similarity between things. And also, you know, just some of the things that we're doing that we want to, you know, like Social Media Club Seattle, I, you know, would be on trips up to Microsoft if I was working on a project for them and hear feedback about how great an event was that Social Media Club Seattle was doing and the importance of that hub that you're talking about. So it all starts by going to socialmediaclub.org, wherever you are in the world, and getting involved that way. And I highly recommend becoming a member because it really does get you connected with your community, and it's money well spent. And I think
All
the organizations out there that, you know, proclaim this or that, the only one, I'm a member of a ton of things, but the only one I really always continually tell people is I'm on the local board for Social Media Club, you know, that because I think it means something. And I think that's what you're trying to protect, which is I love. I just had to do my little I love you guys. And I think you've just done a great job, and you've not become wealthy, and you've spent your own money and gone in debt for this. And hopefully, you know, you've paved the way. I think it's a really clever way to, you know, keep you guys sane and keep the, you know, sanctity of the values of the chapters in play as well.
And maybe,
but
keep
I want to go ahead.
I said maybe keep us married.
Yeah, there you go. That always helps. Definitely have to stay married. They're having been to their home, their deck is a great place of wonderful conversation, and I always learn something. There's always someone I meet that's interesting, or, you know, so kind of hearkening back to what Christy was saying about her childhood, I think she's done a great job recreating that. I've met your sister, and we had a great talk, and, you know, just it's always a lot of fun. But I want to talk about one thing, and that's sort of what's next beyond. So as I understand it, Chris, you're writing a book soon, or you've started, or tell us about that.
Yeah, I've started. I haven't gotten the first piece published yet because we're still trying to structure some elements regards to how to present it, but I publicly committed to getting a book done by South by Southwest so that I could present the findings on a presentation. It's called Serve the Market is the name of the book. Eventually a blog will be at servethemarket.com. It's not there now. And, you know, the main idea is really, you know, it's a little bit glib, but the kind of line is serve the market, not the stock market. For all too long, big corporations have come to a place where they're about the CEO's number one job is serving the shareholder's value. And the shareholder's value isn't the community's value, isn't the market's value. It is a representative of that value. And unfortunately, the mechanics of the stock market in particular have led to a lot of big gambling habits, as we've seen with AIG and numerous other corporations over the last several years. And I think that, unfortunately, some technology has accelerated some of this stuff, as well as greed and power and a lot of that other bit. But that the spreadsheet in particular seems to be a most dastardly unintended consequence of the middle management who is managing their business decisions and everything through that spreadsheet. And whether it's black or red or whatever it might be, that they're seeing those numbers on that spreadsheet just as Plato envisioned the shadows on the wall of the cave, and that they're not seeing the reality of the humanity behind those numbers and the impacts of those decisions, which leads somebody to an easy position where if I have to remove emotion and concern for human people, but if I look at a line item in a budget that says, if I properly dispose of this waste, it's going to cost $10 million this quarter, and that's going to turn our profit to a loss, and that's going to mean that I might lose my job, and that's going to mean that you know, my share value is going to go down in the stock that I hold in my company. It all too often leads to people making the wrong decision. And there's a lot more to it, but the core of it, besides that sort of, and by the way, I'm not anti-corporate, I'm anti-greed, just to be clear, because there's a role for the corporation, and I think that we need to enter a new era of conscious capitalism that understands it's not exponential profits in all markets at any cost, but it is instead focused on the creation of value at the core of our operations and the core of what we do every day. And I don't know, I guess about 18 years ago, somebody introduced me to the concept of the triple bottom line of not just looking at monetary profits, but community impacts and ecological impacts. And, you know, really, there's a whole new way of doing things, and we need to discover it if we're going to be caretakers of this planet much longer.
Fantastic. And I think that's a lovely way to sort of end our program. Christy, I know you have a hard stop in particular, so I want to be respectful of that and let you guys get on with your day. Thank everyone that's tweeted, Facebooked, or otherwise gotten in touch with me to add questions for Chris and Christy for this Blog Talk Radio show. So I thank you guys so much for being on. Anything else you want to shout out in the last few minutes before I let you go?
A couple quick things. First of all, happy anniversary to Social Media Club Detroit. It turned 1 year old today.
And
as of yesterday, became the second official chapter behind San Francisco that reached over 10 local professional members.
That's fantastic. Yay.
Yay. And I think I appreciate everybody carrying the torch of the Social Media Club mission. And honestly, Chris and I wouldn't be here with, you know, global organization with 230 chapters if it wasn't for the folks like yourself, Jennifer, pulling in and spending the time, you know, volunteering at the local level. So for that, I just, from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you.
Yes.
And I'm excited for the organization as the next year. You know, I think as we move to bring in an executive director and, you know, more official roles, you know, really seeing this organization take off and, you know, do better for the local level as well, too, because I think there'll be a lot more focus on the connecting of everybody in a global community, and that's the part I'm really excited about.
And that's going to really strengthen it. And then also, I should just say one last thing, which is we want to give a big warm welcome to Kevin Traxler, who we just hired this week as our event producer. He's full-time. He's looking after the Social Media University, our social media clubhouses, and a number of events that we're doing in the fall on a fall tour that I'll be embarking on that we'll be talking about more on Monday.
All right, and then I got two more. Sorry, I'm going to extend a little bit. Even though I had a hard stop, I can't go off yet. I also just say there's folks like Jessica Murray who's helping me take on the community, and also Yong C. Lee, who has been championing the SMCEDU, which is our focus on connecting students and professors and local universities and bringing, you know, social media into the curriculum. And that continues to go on and flourish because of Yong's volunteer on that program. So thank you both for that.
And if you know of any educational grants that are bringing social media into universities, please let us know about it, because we're trying to find funding because Yong's been a volunteer for a year, and we really want to hire him as executive director of that program and get some money behind it. And we're setting up a separate 501c3 nonprofit organization to support that role, to make sure that the college graduates, when they come out, are workforce ready with the social media job skills they need to get a better job and to contribute greater value.
Well, and so you're looking specifically for grant opportunities?
Education grants to bring social media education into universities. We've got a couple of service learning programs that we're going to be working on as well to actually train students in social media production and engagement and getting them out into the communities. But there's so much there, that would be a whole nother hour. So we'll come back.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, if the HP grant program that Beth Cantor has been using for all of her wonderful nonprofit work hasn't been looked into, I that seems like a logical one, and I'm happy to help do intros or whatever to make that happen, because I know that she's been able to do great nonprofit work with you know, what would be considered like a corporate grant. So anyway, wanted to throw that out there. But again, we're at the hard stop. Christy, I didn't get to ask you what you're doing next. I hope it involves sleep.
I just want to do a deep dive into the community. My goal is that in 2011, the day-to-day operations are taken care of by somebody else. Because I really enjoy being in the middle of the local community, and I want to do more deep dives into learning what, you know, each individual city is doing and supporting and working on, and that's where I would love to spend more time.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, both of you. Chris Heuer, Christy Wells, the founders of the very global Social Media Club. Visit socialmediaclub.org for more information. Have a great afternoon and weekend to both of you, and hopefully I'll see you soon.
Very soon,
thank
please.
Thank you, and say hello to Andy.
Will do. Thanks so much.
Right,
so again, and thank you again to you, the listener, for your contributions. Again, we crowdsource this podcast through your contributions by email, Facebook, and, of course, Twitter, and couldn't do it without you. So thanks so much for your participation in this session and in every session of the A-List. Look for a great show next week when we'll have a preview of a social media and email conference happening in San Francisco with some organizers that are we've got coming in from all over the place. It's actually going to be a lot of different people, including Murray Newlands, on the show to preview the conference and talk about some of the learnings in terms of email marketing that you can learn today. So that's 1 week from today. We're working on the time, but I think it'll be 9:30 a.m. Pacific. So stay tuned to jenniferlindsay.com for details on that and to my Twitter handle, Jennifer with ED at the end, for details on that. And in the meantime, have a wonderful weekend, and thanks again for tuning into the A-List.